Have your Bibles, I invite you to join me in Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. And we're in the third week of a series that we're calling Live Sent. Live Sent, and that comes from John chapter 20, verse 21, where Jesus commissions the disciples after his resurrection, "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." The way that we express that around here is that one of our core values is that we will go because we have been entrusted with his mission. Jesus Christ has left us as his followers, as his disciples, with a responsibility, and that responsibility is to continue his work of salvation by declaring the message of salvation. To call the world to faith in Jesus Christ. We're to live sent, and so I've challenged you to live sent every moment of every day. To allow that idea, that concept that Christ has sent you on a mission, that you are a representative of Christ wherever you are, wherever you go, whatever you do. To allow that to begin to shape how you see your world. And so I pray that you're taking that challenge seriously and that you are out and you are inviting your neighbors and your coworkers and even strangers. Praise the Lord, I heard one story just a little while ago of one of our church members. She went and crossed a restaurant to a complete total stranger and had a conversation. That's the point of this. The point is to get us to a place where we get our heads out of our phones and our earbuds out of our ears, and we're looking at our world that God has placed us, where God has placed you, is your mission field. And when we don't just clock in and out of our Christian identity and the mission that Jesus Christ has given us when we go on mission, when we go on a mission trip. We don't clock into our Christianity when we come into church. At the same time, we don't clock out of our evangelism and out of our mission when we come to church. What we do in this place is as much a display of whether or not we truly believe this message as how we live out there. How we worship in here is a display. Whether or not we really believe this, we are on mission, on duty, 24/7, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, every moment of our lives. And so, challenging to live sin. And we're going to be looking at the three big sending passages in Scripture, and we've been in Isaiah chapter 6 for several weeks. And I asked the question a couple weeks ago, why is it that we're not motivated to live sin? Where is the fervency in Christianity to live as Christ's missionaries, as Christ's emissaries everywhere we go? And Isaiah 6, the first few verses, verses 1 through 4, reveal to us that I believe one of our big problems is that we don't live in awe of God. We don't reverence the Lord the way that the Lord deserves to be reverenced. Last week we saw that we need an honest view of ourselves, and last week I challenged us that we cannot give what we do not have. Why don't we live for Christ? We cannot give away what we do not have. When Isaiah was encountered by the Lord last week, he was overcome by his sin and he was left completely helpless before the Lord to do anything about it. And everything that he thought that he had to offer was rendered completely worthless. This wasn't a feeling that ever went away for Isaiah. Isaiah is the one that later in this book would write in Isaiah chapter 64, he would say that everything, the best that we have to offer, everything that we have to offer to the Lord is as filthy rags, polluted garments. So this feeling of inadequacy never went away from Isaiah in spite of this encounter. The source of our salvation is not ourselves. It cannot come from within our sin-riddled world. It has to come from outside of us, outside of our world. Salvation must come from heaven itself. The perfect for the imperfect, the spotless for the filthy, the righteous for the unrighteous. God dying for you and for me. That's the only source of salvation. It's the only thing that can satisfy the wrath of an infinitely holy God, is the death of an infinitely holy sacrifice. So Isaiah then is washed clean. And so there's where we see the effects of salvation. The source of salvation is outside of us. It's the sacrifice given for us. And then we see the effects of that salvation in our life. The irreducible minimum of salvation is this: the forgiveness of sins. The message and the declaration of the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ is our sins can be forgiven. Because the wrath of God is satisfied in the death of someone else. Isaiah had identified his lips at the point of his greatest need, and it was at this point, this place of his greatest need, that God applies his salvation. As this angel takes this coal that has come from the altar, that is burning with the holiness of God, as he brings that to Isaiah, he touches his mouth, the very place that Isaiah had declared as the symbol, the representative of his whole sin person, is purged. And he gives this message of hope. Your guilt is taken away, and your sins are atoned. What does that mean? What does that mean? The two sides of our salvation are this, that one, we've been justified. Justified is a legal term. Justified, what it means to be justified is that it is at this point that the judge of heaven, the God of the universe, the eternal Father, issues a verdict on our behalf, not guilty. Though we are guilty, the judge of the universe says not guilty because of the sacrifice that is on the altar. The guilt of the sinner is taken away. Not by anything that we've done, not by anything inherently inside of us, but because of what has been done by a perfect and guiltless one, our guilt is taken away. But then the flip side of that is not just forgiveness, it's also atonement. Our guilt being taken away and then our sin atoned for. I hinted at it with the kids a little bit earlier. This word atoned comes from the Hebrew word family for covered. The first place that we see it in all of Scripture is in the account of Noah and the ark, where God commands Noah as he is building the ark to cover it, atone it in pitch so that it's waterproof. He's to completely slab it with this pitch so that as the wrath of God is literally poured out upon the world, they are protected. They are covered. They are kept from God's wrath. And that same word is what is gone on for the Day of Atonement and the sacrifice of atonement and the altar of atonement and the atonement for you and for me. It is that the blood of Jesus Christ has so covered us over that we are protected from the wrath of God. It goes all the way back. Though the word is not there, the principle goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve disobeyed God and their eyes were opened and they realized that they were naked and they were ashamed of themselves. What did God do? He covered them. He clothed them with the skin of a sacrifice. He atoned for their sins. And so Isaiah here declares that his sin debt is paid. And unfortunately, I believe that this is where most of us stop. Most of us, even within the church and within modern Christianity, we stop right here. We stop with the idea that our debt is paid, that our sin is atoned for. And when we do this, we miss the full beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, Jesus does not just rescue us from the sin and the punishment that we deserve. The other side of salvation is that Jesus Christ rewards us with what we don't deserve. There is not just an effect of salvation, there is a reward of salvation as well. Because at the beginning of verse 8, we hear this, "And I heard the voice of the Lord." You see, up until this point, the Lord has been high and lifted up. Isaiah has been surrounded with the Shekinah glory cloud of God so that he cannot see. He is separated. The picture that God is giving as he reveals himself to Isaiah is one of overwhelming separation between God and Isaiah, that he is unapproachable because of his holiness. But in the instant that Isaiah, and as his sin is cleansed, and he is forgiven of his sins, and his sins are atoned for, in that very moment, immediately, the reward of salvation is reconciliation with the Lord. He's allowed to hear God. He doesn't just see Him. He hears Him. And is able then to engage in a conversation with Him. God didn't merely rescue Isaiah from his hopeless corruption of sin. He restored him to fellowship and relationship. Isaiah is cleansed and drawn near to God. See, when we live our lives only in light of the mercy of God, and we leave out the grace of God, we're living with half the gospel. And half good news is no news at all. We live with the cross. And then every once in a while around Easter, we bring up the resurrection. But here's the thing. At the cross of Jesus Christ, he drank the cup of God's wrath for your sins and for my sins. It is there that we see the mercy of God displayed. As God forgives us of our sins, as he withholds from us what it is that we deserve, which is his wrath. That's God's mercy given to us at the cross of Jesus Christ. And there he died. But here's the thing. When Moses died, if you remember, when Moses died, God buried him away in some secret place. God had his reasons. I don't know what it is. I have my ideas of why God would hide his body away somewhere. You're talking about that's another point. But Jesus Christ isn't tucked away and hidden secret in some place. Jesus Christ did not stay dead. He arose from the dead. And he now is alive and standing at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and for me. Right now, Jesus is praying for you. Amen. He loves you that much. He is interceding for you. And by that and in that, he sends his Spirit as a gift of God's grace and a down payment of the future that you will hold by living in eternity with God in a relationship with him as a down payment for that future. Amen.
Amen.
Listen, I'm going to preach, I'm going to worship. Whether you join me or not, that's up to you. But here's the thing. If we live, the mercy is for what we have done. The mercy is for behind us. The grace of God is this never-ending pool that we get to tap into forever. At the cross of Jesus Christ, our sin debt was paid in full. Tetelestai, paid in full. Christ cried from the cross. It is finished. But if all he does is pay the debt, what good are we in? We're just at a zero balance. What can you do with $0 in your bank account? Nothing but get into more debt. Jesus Christ on the cross, his death, and is where the mercy of God is extended to you and to me so that our sin debt is paid. We're brought to a zero balance. At the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he is raised to life and we are given a life that we do not deserve. Paul wrote that he who knew no sin became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. Your debt is not just paid by the wealth of God. You are assigned as a signer, a co-owner of the account of God's righteousness now. You are able to write a blank check on God when you are adopted as his son and daughter. When we only live in light of God, please forgive me, we're not embracing the hope and the grace that God gives us on the other side to say, now God, go before me. Lead me not into temptation, but go before me, warrior spirit. Take out your bow. Take out your spear. Unsheathe your sword and wipe away everything that would stand against me today. You have complete and unadulterated access to God's righteousness on your behalf moving forward. You don't have to be trapped in sin anymore. You don't have to be bound in sin anymore. It doesn't matter what it is that the enemy throws against you. There is no power. I'm spitting, I'm sorry. I'm yelling too hard. If you're not going to yell at me, I'm going to yell at you. So it's one or the other. The grace of God is endless and boundless, and it is given to us at the cross of Jesus Christ. The mercy is given us at the cross. The grace of God is available to us in the resurrection of Jesus. In the resurrection of Jesus is alone. Peter tells us in 2 Peter 1:3, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. If you are a child of God today, he has given you everything you need to live the life he calls you to. Praise the Lord. Praise him today. Because you have everything that you need. The grace of God won for us at the resurrection. gives us everything necessary to live the life that God has called us to. I don't have any clean, easy applications for you today. But sometimes the best application is no application at all. It's just to spend time living with Jesus. And what Jesus did for you, and what Jesus did for me, and what Jesus invites us into. So there's no better time for us to celebrate the Lord's Supper than on the day that we've spent looking at Jesus and His sacrifice for us. But before we get there, my question is, have you ever experienced this salvation? You can't give away. We're in a live sent emphasis where we're to live sent. You cannot give what you do not have. Have you experienced this salvation? You want to know what one of my favorite things about this passage of Scripture is? Isaiah confesses his sins, and God goes to mess. There are plenty of places we read Psalm 51, and there we are instructed and we're commanded in Scripture to confess our sins and ask God to forgive us of our sins. But all Isaiah is able to do in light of the glory of God is just declare himself unworthy. So maybe you're here today, and you're going, "Preacher, I don't know how to be saved. I don't know what I need to pray. All I know is I need Jesus. I need whatever it is that you've got." Based on the authority of God's Word, that's all that you need. Right there. "God, I don't know what it is. All I know is that I'm not worthy and I need Jesus." Done. God does the rest. That's the light and the hope and the invitation that is to every single person in this room. You have presented, this is who Jesus is. This is what Jesus offers. This is what Jesus does for you. Now what will you do with it? The invitation's open. Will you confess your sins? Will you believe this message today that Christ has done everything necessary for God's wrath to be swallowed up on your behalf, your sins to be forgiven, and you can be given a life that you don't? Do you believe that? So cry out, call out to God. "God, I don't have all the answers. I don't know what all I need, but I know I need Jesus." It's that simple. It's that simple. But to the Christians in the room, to those who are sons and daughters of God, are you living every moment of every day in light of this reality? Are you keeping short accounts with God where you cry out for forgiveness and His mercy? And are you living in light of the grace that goes before Him? Are you living in light of the new identity that you are given as a new creation in Christ? That there is no sin that needs to hold you back or hold you down or bind you to your past. That every chain can be broken by Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Are you walking in this life as an heir of the King of the universe? If not, why not? The band's going to come. We're going to do the same thing that we did last week. We're just going to take a moment. And I want this to sink in on you. The invitation is there and it is open. And the band's going to sing. And I want you to just let this meditate in your mind. And I'm going to step down front. And if you're here today and you need somebody to pray with you, if you're here today and you've never known this salvation, and you want to know how it is that you can be saved, then I'm going to invite you forward. The invitation is there. Would you come? Cry out to God for forgiveness. Maybe you're where you are and you're a Christian and you haven't been living in light of this and you aren't keeping close accounts and there's sin in your life that you need to confess and you need to repent and you need to go before the Lord. Then we're going to give you this opportunity right here, right now. Take a few moments right before the Lord and pray as the psalmist prays, "Lord, search me and know me and show me what I must do."